Warren Brooker on 800 CJBQ.
Uh, 10:40 is the time. 800 CJBQ is the radio station, and we have some breaking news. And this just dropped, and our news department and Ted have to put this together right away. Ladies and gentlemen, this person was elected as our Member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, and Addington on October 21st. That's 93 days ago. And today, Derek Sloan has announced he will be running for the leadership of the Federal Conservative Party of Canada. Derek Sloan joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
Thanks.
Sorry, we missed you. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks, Mark.
So the obvious question is, Derek, you have been a member of Parliament for about 11 seconds. So that's quite a jump from backbench newbie member to leadership of the Federal Conservatives. How and why, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And in all honesty, I think it's time for some bigger and bolder ideas. It is true that my experience in Parliament is limited. There's going to be candidates in this race who have never been a member of Parliament and who bring other experiences with them. Remember, I was and still am a lawyer, a former small business owner. So we all bring different life experiences with us, and obviously a family man and gone through different struggles, as we all have. So we all have life experiences. But for me, this race is about ideas and getting bold ideas out there. And I feel in our last election, the reason we lost is that we focused very, very narrowly on a specific subset of ideas. To be the leading and dominant party in the country, we need to have ideas that cover all the issues that are facing people, not just, taxation and liberal corruption and those types of things. Further to that, I feel there's issues in our very riding that need to get national attention. One of those is the water levels at the Bay of Quinte. Another less urgent issue, but equally as important, affordable housing and some of those issues. I don't feel those types of things are going to get national traction in this leadership debate. And one of the ways to do that is to run. And so I've always said that I would fight for the riding as best I can. And I feel that this is one way to do it.
If you were successful, doesn't it make it even more difficult to fight for the riding because you would never be here?
Well, no, I mean, if you win, it's easier. I mean, you decide exactly what gets done, where money goes. But when it comes to dealing with some of these issues I've said, the leader makes the decision. Obviously, there's a policy process, but when the leader's behind something, that's when it often happens.
Let me ask you, you talk about bold ideas and you don't want to just focus in on taxation and things like this. What do you mean by bold ideas? Give us some examples.
Right. So I do have a pretty big policy list, which I'm not releasing today, and I will release piece by piece. However, I can talk to you in broad strokes. So, the Conservative Party is typically pretty strong on fiscal restraint and issues like that. But they don't necessarily always focus on some of the other issues that are important. I mean, in our riding, we have, affordable housing issues, poverty amongst seniors, for example. There's good conservative answers to those things, and I feel that we typically just leave the field open to the Liberals or other parties to come up with plans. In my respectful view, those plans are not as good as they could be. And so I feel that we need to have a fulsome plan that, yes, deals with broad, tax reduction and tax relief and all the things you would typically associate with conservatives, but also has bold policies on, housing, poverty, health care, all of those things. So I'm not going to get into more specifics on that today, but my goal is to come up with sort of a wish list of bold policies that maybe have circulated around in people's heads, but by the time it gets down to a platform, have been, you know, watered down and weeded out. So I want to put those forward and hopefully impact the direction that the party takes. I feel they often play it safe when it comes to these things, and they need to go big. So hopefully, at the very least, I can influence that process, as well as addressing, again, some of these issues with our water levels and so on. They need attention now. And running for leadership, I can send an editorial into any major newspaper and get the type of coverage that these issues deserve.
You told our newsroom that social issues need to be discussed. Is that really what you're saying when you talk about bold issues? One of the issues in the federal campaign with Andrew Scheer was his wishy-washiness when it came to issues such as women's rights, such as gay marriage, those kind of things. Are you going to be the social conservative candidate?
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good question. So in my view, I feel that there's things to be said on every issue, whether it be those issues deemed social conservative or not. You know, I should clarify that nothing in my plan is changing the rights of LGBT people or anything like that. And I don't have actually anything specific to say about abortion. However, I do feel that there should be a discussion on it, as I've said on the show before. You know, typically what happens when laws get struck down, when we had our assisted suicide laws get struck down, is someone the legislature responds with another law. The courts take a look at it. They may modify it again. Legislature responds again. We've had a vacuum in this country for 30 years on the abortion issue. The laws were struck down. The intent was that some sort of law would come back in and it would be tested for its constitutionality. And nothing happened. So I don't have anything specific in my plan on that issue, but I would be open to a conversation, and it would need to be initiated by, you know, individual MPs, and there's different approaches. But yeah, that would be one issue. Basically any issue is open for discussion in a parliamentary democracy, and that's certainly one of them.
Hasn't the ship sailed on that? Hasn't the ship sailed? Haven't we learned that in the last federal election that the population of this country has left the dock on this stuff? Why get back into it?
Well, I think what happened in the last election is that, like, essentially what Andrew Scheer was saying was, I'm pro-life, but I'm not going to do anything about it. And I think that sent the wrong message to basically everybody. So what I think, again, needs to happen, the legal status of abortion, as we've said before, this isn't about, you know, should everything be banned or not at all or whatever. It's about, look, there's no legal framework whatsoever in relation to a fetus in this country, and we're out of line with almost any other country in the world. So to have a conversation on that is something that happens in parliaments, and they've done that. They've done that in France. They've done that in Germany. They've done that in Sweden. They've done that in virtually every democratic country in the world, and we haven't for some unknown reason. So the crux of my campaign is not this issue, but I'm not going to lie and say that there isn't a conversation to be had.
So would it be fair to say that if Andrew Scheer said he was pro-choice and not going to do anything about it, would it be fair to say that you're pro-choice and you will do something about it?
Well, I've always classified myself as pro-life, and that means different things to
I mean pro-life, people. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah. On a sort of specific point here, because, you know, we're talking about a specific scenario, me running. So as of right now, our Constitution says that a conservative government will not implement legislation relating to abortion. So in practice, what that means is the leader of the party will not, from the party itself, bring forward legislation. But it also means that other MPs, through private members' bills and so on, can bring forward legislation according to their choices. And I will actively encourage them to bring forward things of this nature or whatever it is that they would like to. And there will be a discussion. I'm almost confident. So I hope that clarifies exactly. But so it's not so much that I have any particular plan in mind myself, but I'd welcome the discussion on it.
If you were the federal conservative leader, would you walk in the Toronto Gay Pride Parade?
That's a great question. So when I got into politics, I did it on the specific premise that I was fighting against political correctness. And I feel that the Pride Parade or the conversation around it has become sort of a political litmus test for candidates. And so for that reason and for others, I mean, there's a sort of a lot of the parade is often political in various ways. I will likely not march, and that some people may like that, some people may not, and it's of course a free country, and people are able and welcome to do as they please. But that will be my stance through this leadership.
But why wouldn't you march? Do you not want to support the millions of people in this province who are LGBTQ?
Yeah, you know, I do, and there's different ways to support, and you know, frankly, amongst there's been various gay conservatives that have worked with me, gay and lesbian conservatives that have worked with me on this very campaign. They don't like the parade either for different reasons. They feel it's flashy and hypersexual and different things of that nature. So it's partly just that I feel that no one should feel forced to be involved in something like that.
Okay, so let me.
And partly that it's just not really for me.
Let me rephrase in. Would you march in the Belleville Pride Parade, which is much less flashy?
Yes, that's you know what? That's another good question. As of right now, I feel that the fuss that's been made about the parade has, again, been turned into a political litmus test. And I just don't feel comfortable being involved in something like that. If you view my nomination speech that I gave, I railed very directly against political correctness. And it may seem like a small thing to some people, and that's fine. And some people may choose not to vote for me. And also that's fine as well. But for the sake of standing up for principles of, I don't want to be involved in anything just because it's the flashy thing to do. I don't want to be involved in anything just because it's kind of the expected thing to do. I want to make sure that I'm doing things that are, bringing forth substantive policies to help everybody, LGBT people, other people, and I don't really want to get into this. For some people, politics is about, you know, parades and plaques and platitudes and these types of things. I want to try and avoid that as much as I can. I know it's going against the grain, and it may rub people the wrong way. But that's the approach that I've decided to take in this race.
I got to ask you, you're not very well known, certainly across the country. And it costs $300,000 to get into this campaign, and you'll need 3,000 signatures from conservative members across various ridings.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much money you have in the bank, but just that's a lot of money and a lot of signatures for somebody who is not that well known. I mean, as I mentioned, you've only been in federal politics for under 100 days. Where's the money coming from?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So just for the record, you can't fund you're strictly limited to the amount that you can put in yourself. So even if I had $300,000 sitting around without anything to do with, I would have to fundraise in any event, as do all candidates. So I can tell you I'm actively fundraising right now and soliciting signatures. I'm not prepared to divulge exactly what level of money we're at, but I do expect to be able to meet the targets. If not, then I suppose this will be a short race. But I did enter into this doing some investigation and reaching out to different MPs and constituencies to think about those things.
Let me ask you, Derek. Most people who are brand new to being an MP, you haven't even met all the people that work in the cafeteria yet. So I'm asking, did somebody come to you and ask for your participation in this? Maybe conservative groups or social conservative groups or something like this? Or did the idea spring right from your head?
No, the idea was my own. No group of any type sort of twisted my arm or anything like that. The idea was my own. From getting into this, I made it a goal to further the conservative movement in Canada. Obviously, as a conservative, I feel the country would be much better off under conservative leadership. And I've been literally taking notes for the last couple of years on ways that I feel the party could be appeal more to Canadians and address more of their issues. And so with that as a background, when this opportunity came up, I thought about it very carefully, and I thought that this would be a way to share the vision that I feel needs to be there when it comes to winning and being a dominant political force, because the Conservative Party is a strong party, but it's essentially an opposition party. And even when it's in government, it's fighting tooth and nail to sort of be there. So I feel that it needs to make some changes to be viewed as a first choice rather than, wow, man, the Liberals really messed up the last couple of terms. I guess we should give these guys a shot type of party. And I feel that this is a way to expand on that view. And, you know, hopefully as you see some of my policies come out, you'll be like, wow, those are pretty bold policies. Hopefully it will trigger some reflection in the policy process and whichever leader does win.
Have you been in contact with some of the social conservative groups in this country, and have they been in contact with you?
You know what? So when, sorry, Lauren, I'm suffering a bit of a cold here. So when I ran for parliament here, a couple of groups reached out to me and just asked my opinions on certain things relating to abortion, primarily. And so those groups are aware that I am running, but I am not no one from those groups is running my campaign or anything like that. I do have a campaign manager that actually worked on Andrew Scheer's campaign, and I can provide that contact info to you if you like. But my team is essentially local volunteers, and my campaign manager is from Toronto. Her name is Paula Ituri. And that's my basic team, and I'm not beholden to any particular group.
This, in your mind, and everybody's mind right now as you're hearing this, and by the way, if you're just joining us, we're on the line right now with Hastings, Lennox, and Addington MP Derek Sloan, who has announced he will be vying for the leadership of the Federal Conservative Party of Canada. This has to be a David and Goliath kind of thing in your mind and everybody's mind right now, as Peter McKay is in the running. We might have Rona Ambrose. We might have Pierre Poilievre. How are you going to beat? How are you going to beat Goliath, David?
You know, that's actually a really good question, because I'm reading a book with that very title right now. It's by Malcolm Gladwell, and you can Google it if you haven't seen it. And the premise of the book is actually that David and Goliath are not necessarily – David's and Goliath's are not necessarily mismatched. They simply have different strengths and different weaknesses. So in that book, he basically lists a variety of scenarios where David's have, in fact, beat Goliath. And so what that means from my standpoint is I need to be bigger. I need to be bolder. I need to zig when other people are zagging. I need to go against the grain in some scenarios and be different in others. This race is open. The average member of the Conservative Party, having name cachet does mean something, but having a broad vision, having an engaging personality, having a bold outlook that maybe defies conventional wisdom, those are more important than some of the other things. I mean, to certain people, experience means everything, but to other people, people just want something that's bold and dynamic. So in my view, the race is open. And time will tell how it turns out.
If you are the social conservative candidate, or you end up being the social conservative candidate, we know Peter McKay is not socially conservative per se, or Rona Ambrose. So they're more moderate. So if you are more on the right, you may have an opportunity to play king or queen maker, or you may have an opportunity to take on an important social conservative type role if a Peter McKay or Rona Ambrose ends up being a prime minister in the next election and you end up winning this riding. Are those things that are going through your mind?
Yeah, you know what? I want to be as influential in sort of sharing the view, the vision that I have for the party. And whether that be in sort of a secondary place or a first place, it's about getting the ideas out there. I just read an article this morning. Apparently, someone else has already declared themselves as a social conservative candidate. So I'll leave that title for Richard de Carey. But in any event, it is possible that that I may have I could be in that position. And again, I'll use that. And as you see my policy come out, you'll see that there's a lot of good stuff in there that'll make the country a better place. And I hope that that does have a definite impact on where the party heads from here.
Hastings, Lennox, and Addington Member of Parliament Derek Sloan, and just announced candidate for the leadership of the Federal Conservative Party of Canada. Thank you very much for your time. Obviously, we'll speak again during this process. And it's going to be fascinating for all of us to watch, no doubt, and for you, I'm sure.
It'll be exciting one way or the other, I'm sure of that.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Lauren.
All right, and that wraps it up for today. Breaking news. Local MP vying for leadership of the Federal Conservatives. More on that coming up in seconds on the 11 o'clock news. Big thanks to everybody joining us on the program today. Karen Post, Manager of Economic and Strategic Initiatives for the City of Belleville. Of course, Derek Sloan as well. Thank you very much for your time. And I hope we were one of the first. I think we were one of the first interviews Derek must have had. So thank you, Derek, for that. Much appreciated. And we really do. A big thanks to Ted Bradford for producing the program today. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about Alzheimer's, dementia. And we'll talk about your pet as Dr. Lara Sylvester joins us as well. As mentioned, 11 o'clock news up next. Enjoy your Wednesday. Thanks so much for coming out.